First, I would like to thank the elders for the opportunity to go to Honduras. I believe this is, I'm the first to go to Honduras. We support two men in Honduras. I really do appreciate the opportunity. It was an absolute pleasure. I want to thank all of you for the funds in which you give to the Lord each week that help support these men that preach the gospel in foreign lands and that make trips like this possible to edify and uplift the brethren in other countries. And I know Travis appreciates it and all the men who travel abroad. Today, I'm going to introduce our Honduran family to us. I met many wonderful brethren there. It was an absolute blessing to go and to meet them. It's about 1,200 miles. You can actually drive it. I wouldn't recommend it at all. You go through some pretty unsafe places. We flew, of course. It is down below Mexico. It's probably less than a three-hour flight, so it's not real far away. But it is definitely a foreign land, foreign country. And so we had a safe flight over there, very easy flight. And I went with four other gentlemen, Jeff Archer, whom has preached, his dad preached here. Jeff actually has preached here many years ago, probably 10 or 11 years ago. His son Todd Archer went with us and has been going on a regular basis. Chris Webb, who is a preacher in training in Alabama. And Jerry Falk was our translator. He got his Spanish from living in Spain. His wife is from Spain, and so he lived there for, I believe, 15 years. He preaches in New Jersey for a Spanish-speaking congregation. So this is us. We're in Kimistan here. We're in Kimistan in this picture. So we fly to San Pedro Sula in Honduras, and we get greeted by 20 to 30 people meet us at the airport to welcome us. And so where'd I go? I went this way. Okay. So this is Daniel. In Honduras, it's pronounced Danielle, as we would pronounce it feminine, but for our sakes, it's Daniel. This is Digna, his wife, and Daniela, his daughter. We support this gentleman. This is Sergio. He's a preacher there in Honduras. This is Julio, whom we also support, and his family. This is Claudia. Over here, this is Claudia. This is his wife, Reina. Arturo, Michelle, his daughter. This is his son-in-law. This here is his daughter, Claudia. This is Fanny, his oldest daughter. And then these two young ones here are Claudia's daughters. This is Agata, and this is Micaela. And so then we come here, and this is Oscar and his wife. They preach in El Pedregal. Julio preaches in San Pedro Sula, where we just landed. This is Adonai. This is Aldolfo and his family, Brisbo, who preaches in Riviera Hernandez, which we'll see in a little while. So we get there, and we meet all these folks. That was pretty, as you would think, you're landing there, and you have 30 people who greet you, and hardly any of them speak a lick of English. So my Spanish is extremely limited. So just getting to know them, that brief period of time was very difficult. But I got to know several of them as they traveled with us, and they met us here and they met us there. So we pile in this van right here, 9 of us. Daniel went with us, Sergio went with us, Julio went with us, Adolfo went with us, and then the 5 of us. We pile in the van, a little cramped and crowded in here. You only see about 5 of them there. And then, of course, there's 2 in the front seat and 2 in the seat right in front of these gentlemen. So the first place we go, we drive probably, it says on here, it says 2 and about 245 minutes. Of course, with their roads, that is not true. So we're probably a 3.5-4 hour drive to La Ceiba, which is over at the coast. And so this is the congregation at La Ceiba. And this is down here in the bottom left-hand corner, or yes, bottom left-hand, right-hand to you, is their church building. And we start out, and they're, Honduras is in a drought. So we go over to the coast, and of course it starts raining a little bit on us. Two of us are up to preach to begin with. That would be Todd Archer and myself. So I said, okay, Todd, I've never preached with a translator. You go first. Show me what it's like. So he goes first, and it goes really well. So I get up there, and the lights go out. So as this picture is semi in the dark, it was much darker. I lightened this center picture. That is me preaching here. And Julio in the middle has his cell phone. He is lighting up my notes for me to read, and then he runs over to the translator, and he lights up his Bible. And he runs over to me, and he lights up my notes, and he runs over to the Bible and lights it up. And so we go through the sermon in the dark for the most part. I think about 50% of the sermon was in the dark. So we start off with just, you know, it's about as easy as it gets. But it was great. Of course, it's memorable. How many times you get to preach in the dark? And so Todd preached on prayer from the life of David, and I preached my sermon on influence. And so once we were done, of course, it was dark, and the power was pretty much off, and for the most part, it was off. I also, before I move on, want to thank all of you who gave benevolence to take to Honduras, because there were some needs there, and we fulfilled them. I tried to be as diligent as I could and as generous as I could while I was there. We're not there to change their social status. So we're not there to be looked at as the money Americans. We are there to preach the gospel. And so we did have to search for needs. It wasn't always, as you might think, you know, a very poor country and everybody coming up to you, you know, we need help, we need help, we need help. Just about everywhere we went, we had to ask what the needs were in the congregation so that we could try to meet them. And so here we gave, as far as Cedar Park, we gave about 500 lira, which is about $24, to a boy to have surgery on his lip. And we gave about $95, about 2,000 lira, for medicine for four ladies who are over 75, who are struggling to get their medicine. So we stayed that night in La Ceiba, and here's a picture of the La Ceiba. It's on the coast, very, very beautiful area. Has the highest peak in the country, and this is Pico Bonito National Park, and this is Pico Bonito. And this, of course, is the same. And back behind Jerry and Sergio is the same. This is looking out from our hotel towards the coastline. This particular coast was it was very pretty. The cities are still fairly run down, as if you can see here. This is pretty destitute down here. Something was destroyed there. So we stayed the night there in La Ceiba, and this is the next day before we left. Our travels the next day, we're going to head to Kimistan. And on our way, we stop and we head through San Pedro Sula, and I'll show you. These are two families here. The pictures over here are one family. This is Francisco and Heidi. This is Isolina, and her husband is Juan Carlos. Her husband is not a Christian. This is Francisco and Heidi's house, to some extent, what there is of it. And this is Isolina's and Juan Carlos's house. As we go along, this is Isolina up close. This is Isolina's house over here. And this is the front of Heidi and Francisco's house. They are both shoemakers. Her husband is a shoemaker. He works for a specific company there to make shoes. He also does it as best he can on the side. This is his workshop right here. And this is the inside of his workshop and his sewing machine to where he makes leather shoes. And so Francisco works with him and for him, Juan Carlos. And so here, there are other congregations and have been kind of helping them get these houses built. And we gave each of them $250 for materials to build their house, to help build their house. That will not finish it by any means. But we gave them $250. Francisco does all the work himself, and so I believe does Juan Carlos. They do not hire out, they have not hired out anything. He does everything himself. And so we move from there to Kimistan. And here's Kimistan. Daniel preaches there. And we get there, and Chris Webb preaches there. He preaches on restoration of a brother, restoring a brother. And Jeff Archer preaches there, and he preaches on Psalms 34, 13 and following. He who would see good days would refrain his lips from speaking evil. And so we go there and we preach, and it's pretty crowded in there. This is a fairly small congregation. It is all women. There's about there's up to 13 of them. It started with 9, and we're up to 13 there. And of course, they are working on the husbands, but at this time, it is all females. And so they have a lot of kids, as you can see down here in the middle picture. Down here in the middle picture, we'll see another one of them a little later on. So Jeff and Todd Archer bring some benevolence to them. They bring some shoes, and they had a suitcase full of shoes. And in doing so, they brought the shoes for another congregation. They opened a suitcase here, and we're going to give each one of them one pair. And it got a little out of control, and that is this picture up here. It was tough to figure out, okay, what shoe fits who. And so then it was just, okay, they'd start picking up a pair, they'd see, okay, it doesn't fit, and they'd set down, and it went kind of nuts. By the time we were done here, we ended up with 3 pairs of shoes left. And so these two young, beautiful little girls, they have their shoes in their hand, and they are all very, very happy. Again, these are very extremely poor folks. Shoes are a blessing to them, just to have shoes. I was speaking to, I believe it was Julio, and he said that he did not get his first pair of shoes till he was 12. And somebody gave him, somebody in the church gave him credit to buy the shoes. And he was working, I think, if I remember right, at the age of 10. And so this country is still fairly destitute. It doesn't look like some of the other third world countries. It is a pretty beautiful country. I wouldn't say they're as poor, but there are definitely some poor folks, as we're going to see. So down in the bottom corner here, you'll see a little bit of the fruit that we, as we passed from the La Ceiba on through the country over here on this side, the one with all the little spikes on it, that is lechis, and it's L-E-E-C-H-A-S, I believe, and the other one is mangosteen. Both of these, the fruit is on the inside, and it's like an eyeball. It looks like an eyeball. It's in this consistency of a pear, and both of them have seeds, so you pop these things open, and they drip with all the juice, and then you eat the insides of them. Most of you who know me know that I'm awfully picky eater. But I was there to broaden my horizons. I had some of these. They were very good. And we had a good time. So we did not give any benevolence to Kimistan at this time, but there will be some later on. We moved from Kimistan to, we stayed in La Entrada, which is down here. And so we went a little further out, and then the next day we came back and around, and we went to La Estancia. This is day three, so this would be Wednesday. This was probably the most relaxing time. The rest of the time, we were pretty rushed. We were in a hurry and late just about everywhere we went. They packed us pretty good each day. And so here, we arrived early, probably a couple hours. We had a lot of time to spend with these brethren. Jerry Falk, he preached here. And as he preached, the next slide, we had some obstacles to overcome, and you'll probably hear them here in just a second. So, here we're various preaching in the rain. And so, there were other videos that I had. That loudness does not do it justice. It was loud as if you were at a football game. They had a tin roof. Let's see if we can go back a little ways. This tin roof here was an amplifier for that rain, and it was very loud. It was so loud that he speaks fluent Spanish, and he was having trouble getting through his sermon. Dropped his notes in the water, which was there in the front of us. And so, as you can see in this picture here, throughout his sermon, several young ladies would get up and they would sweep the water out from between him preaching and them and those who were listening. And so this is our family at La Estancia, a good-sized group. Some of them traveled 2 hours to get there. And matter of fact, I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. Ronaldo is the one who preaches here, and his wife, Reina. I do not have a picture of them here. So we had all kinds of obstacles. This here, I don't know if you can see up there. I don't know if you can recognize that. That's a chicken. We had multiple chickens, but one mainly liked to sit and listen to us, listen to the preaching and through our singing. And he would meander through, and they'd tss, tss, tss. You'd hear that throughout the lesson, throughout the time, and they're chasing the chicken out. We had a cat, and then here was, on a regular basis, this was a road traveled. You would see this, and so you would have donkeys and horses, and this is how many of them transport food and transport other things. These two young boys are Ronaldo's sons, and so this here is Arnold, and the one in the red is Jen, and we had several hours to spend with them, and we had fun teaching them. Jeff and I were teaching them coin tricks. This little picture, what they're doing there is, have you ever seen stack the coins up on the elbow and you flip down and catch them? We were having a great time teaching them that. They got it down to, I think, I don't know, they had 13 coins or something, and they were catching them by the time we were done. We had, they were doing paper airplanes. These are them doing paper airplanes, and we were having some pretty good time before we got to the preaching. Jen was actually baptized. He was the only baptism of the trip, and they had asked me to do it. And so this is a picture with me and Jen. This is the road here that leads up to that church building. And as it was raining, of course, we're in a drought there, and again, here we have heavy rain. And I see it, we're waiting for some folks to arrive that have been coming for quite a distance. And you see this lady, and she's got her umbrella, and she's walking through the rain, and as she gets closer and closer, she is very pregnant. And she just walked probably several miles just to get there in the rain. That's dedication. That is dedication. I think they dropped her off at a bus stop somewhere down this road goes down and down and down, and she walked longer than you can see there. This here is just a picture I threw in, because at the end, we're introducing ourselves and talking to everybody. His name is Jason as well. So I met another Jason there, this young man down here. And so this was a wonderful group that was very dedicated. We had to wait a little while for some of them to catch up and get there. They traveled a long ways. So we left there, and we went to, we were headed to, after that, we spent the night in Gracias here. The city was named Gracias, and we spent the night there. And as we did, this is a picture of all of us but Jeff. The four preachers there have been having a discussion around a particular brother who has, he had fallen. He, of course, he, give a little bit of background. I'm going to try to make it really quick. They, he left his wife. They have basically a law in their country that states that you have to live together for 3 years before you can actually get married. So within this time frame, he left his wife. And he disappeared for quite some time. And then he was a member at La Ceiba. It gets real complicated. He was a member at La Ceiba. Now he was trying to join the La Riviera congregation. And they were struggling. And he had married somebody else. And they've been speaking to this gentleman. So they were in, not only, they've been preaching to him and Bible studies with him. And they were struggling as to how to handle. He wanted to come to services, but yet he wanted to come with the wife he was not supposed to have. And so they were struggling, and he was family as well. So that even complicates it more. So they wanted our opinions. So we were studying the Bible with them, looking at God's word to show them what they should do. And they had done the right thing. They had already acted. This whole thing we studied here, it was all a moot point, really. But they wanted the Bible. They had done the right thing. They taught the gentleman. They had told him that you need to go back to your old wife, or you need to put away the wife in which you have. And then he hadn't been attending. Their fear was, what if he still attends? How is that going to affect the congregation? So they were thinking all kinds of different scenarios. But we had a good discussion here. They do not know the meaning of time. Dinner stopped serving at this hotel. We hadn't eaten yet. This is about 10. Dinner stopped serving at about 9:30. And so we go over and ask them after we're done studying until about 10 o'clock if they will stay open for us another little while longer. So they do, and so we eat. The next day, we drive to Marcala, and on our way, we stop off and speak to a brother who has from a congregation that was disbanded, and that's this one here. We have a Bible study with him, this one here, and we have a Bible study about him and with him. Pertaining to institutionalism, because unfortunately their congregation disbanded and that's the only one in the local area, but he was the preacher at the other congregation, so I think they're trying to encourage him to get the congregation back together. So this congregation, Jeff and I are back up, we're kind of rotating here, Jeff and I are back up to preach, and I'm sorry, not Jeff, but Todd. Todd preaches the same sermon he preached last time, on prayer from the life of David, and I preach a lesson here on churches in distress, the seven churches of Asia. This particular congregation is about as far out as you can get. Well, I won't say as far out as you can get, but they're about as far out as we were going to go. This congregation is what you would consider their natives to that area, what we would consider native Indians. To the U.S., this is their natives. As you can see, they look slightly different than some of the others that we have seen. I don't know what nationality, I mean, they're Hondurans, but I don't know what tribe or what they considered them. And so here, this is inside of their church building, and it is carved out of a mountain. This area right up here, you can see, this is the mountain, and this is a rock here, apparently a stone, and that they have plastered over and built a little higher. Thus, the moisture seeps through the sidewalls. And this here was the roughest road. This was a shortcut we took. Took about 3 hours, but it was the shortcut, apparently. I'm going to trust them that it was the shortest route to get there. This is a unfinished road and a barely started road. And nine of us in a van, we had some fun times there, thinking we weren't going to make some of the terrain. So Marcala was a good, we preached there. Then we moved on to Siwatepeque, and we passed through Comayagua, which is right over here. There, we were supposed to preach in Comayagua here, but there was some miscommunications in the email, and there was some dates changed with some other congregation, and he was not aware of it. And on, I believe this is Friday, we could not, he hadn't gathered the brethren or let them know. So we couldn't stop there. Moving on to Siwatepeque, Florentino preaches there. And so he preaches at Comayagua and Siwatepeque. He preaches at both of those. So they meet outside in Siwatepeque. And this is an interesting story. This couple right here, the lady in the blue and this gentleman over here, right here, we met them in the airport, and we were talking to them. He was coming from the U.S., and I believe he worships, I think if I remember right, in Kansas somewhere. His wife is a Honduran, and he was going there to be with her for a while. He works in the U.S. and lives in the U.S. And so we talked about our meeting, and he says, I'll be close to there. I'll meet you someplace, and we'll go to the congregation. When he's there, he normally meets, either Comayagua or somewhere nearby. Actually, yeah, somewhere right there. He meets at just another congregation. So he showed up, and it was getting late this day, and so Jeff Archer preached here, and he preached on the same. He preached on Psalms 34. Here we gave some benevolence. We gave a young man who had gotten really sick and had been out, was going to be out of work for 6 months. And so four or five of us gave enough money to support him for about a month. And I apologize, I missed some benevolence in the previous one in Marcala. We gave about $250 total by the Americans, $80 from us, for medicine for the older folks in that congregation, the Marcala. And so we move from here. We travel. That night, we left here, Siwatepeque, and we traveled this road up here, and we were headed back to San Pedro Sula. So we had a pretty good long drive ahead of us, and it got dark pretty quick after we left Siwatepeque. And as we passed by this lake here, right before we got to this lake, which is the biggest lake in Honduras, they wanted to stop and they wanted to eat there right alongside the lake. Right alongside the lake, there are a bunch of restaurants that claim they catched fish that day out of the lake. And so we got in a traffic jam. They were doing some road construction right about in here somewhere. And so we sat there for a good hour or so waiting for our turn to go. In the rain, of course, we're in a drought. And so I was told that they're struggling big time for water. It gets here in America. They have the political topics, and that is the political topic of right now. For them is the water, and they have people that are starving because their crops can't grow because they have no water, but everywhere we went was rain. So We stayed in San Pedro Sula that night. We made it there pretty late, but we made it in. And the next morning, this is day six. I was there 7 days. And so the next morning, so day six and seven, we're going to go to three congregations, and we're going to have, we were scheduled to have two preachers, I think, at each one. We were so far behind because we don't know how to manage time very well we got about one preacher at each congregation. So we go to Omoa, and this young gentleman here is the preacher there. And this is kind of a sad situation here. His father was the preacher there previously, and one day he just disappeared. From what we understand, he did some bad things and either laundered some money or something, and he's running from the law. And so this young man has stepped up, and he is the preacher there. He is, I think, one of six. And they meet at their house. Their house is just to the left of this structure here, which is the church building. And so we met there, and Chris Webb preached there, and he preached his normal sermon on restoring a brother. And so there we gave a little bit of benevolence to them. I think it was about 500 lira, and I think it was about 20, I think it was $25 if I remember right. And that was mainly actually for feeding us, because the lady who has six children and the husband who left, again, you can get the picture that she's struggling pretty good, but yet she is the one who fed us. And so we made sure we repaid her. From there, we headed back down from the coast. Omoa is along the coast. We headed back down, and we went to El Pedregal. This is probably the poorest congregation. It is the poorest congregation we went to. You'll see a picture of the outside of their church building here in a minute. This is the picture of the inside. This is the picture of the entrance and the outside of it. This, I believe, is where he lives, the preacher, and his name was Oscar. And we'll see some pictures of him here in a minute. This congregation of brothers, well, it's actually a congregation of sisters mainly. The husbands are... from what I understand, they're just not good. They're not good men. And so this is a congregation of mainly women. I want you to listen to this. So this congregation here, as you can hear, as poor as they were rich in spirit. I mean, we think of poor in spirit, yes, but they were singing their hearts out. These are folks, you can tell, that love the Lord, as poor as they were. This is the outside. This is their church building, and this is basically a kind of a scenery panning just to the right of their church building. This is actually down the street in which the church building is on. This is Oscar and his wife, and these are, I believe, his brother's children. His brother and his wife died, and so he is taking care of them. They're, let's say, in their 20s. One is married, one is going to college. Extremely poor folks, but rich in heart, as you can hear. They're very rich in heart. And so, again, we were not there necessarily to change social status. We did give some benevolence there. I gave $100 to Oscar, who had crashed one of their cars and totaled it, unfortunately, and that's why his broken arm. And so here, I believe, let's see here, Jeff preached here on his normal sermon. So from there we went to, and I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty quickly. I was given 30 minutes and I'm probably well over already. We went to La Riviere. This is probably the largest congregation in which is there. As you can see, they seat probably 100 or more. And it was fairly full. Wasn't completely packed. This is Adolfo. He preaches there along with another gentleman who preaches there. And Jeff preached there. I'm sorry, Jerry preached there this Saturday. We're going to come back to this congregation. Jerry preached in El Pedregal. Jeff preached here, actually, in La Riviere, or Riviere Hernandez. From there, at this point in time, Sergio was going to depart from us, and he is struggling, and I gave him $200 for food. Sergio has two children, and he is struggling with a wife who has left him several years ago. And he's getting back on his feet now. So we move from there. The next day, this is Sunday. The next day, we go to San Pedro Sula. This is a congregation who meets, this is a storefront, and they're on the second level of the storefront. You walk up a set of stairs from back over here, and they're in a storefront. Apologize, I didn't have real good pictures here. We were always in a hurry this day. And so this is in the heart of the city. We preach here, and Jeff preached here on being beheaded for Christ, and I preached here on the sermon. I was asked to preach my sermon on influence here. And so we preach here, and then we move fairly quickly to Riviere Hernandez, which again is the large congregation. We actually helped build this building here. They were struggling and needing some final touches, and the brethren here, I believe, gave some funds a couple of years ago to help finish out part of this building. And so we move to Riviere Hernandez, where Jerry preaches. At this congregation, Jerry preaches the first sermon, and then I was asked to preach again, so I preached here as well. Again, I was asked to preach the sermon on influence. They liked that sermon quite a bit. Matter of fact, Julio made sure that he got my notes when I was done. So this day was very, very packed. We did not have a whole lot of time to meet and greet the brethren. It was in and out each time. From there, we went back to Kimistan. We drove all the way back out here to Kimistan. And here, I believe that's Todd Archer preached there. And this building is very small, as you can see, and very tight. It was awfully hot. None of these congregations had air except for one. Air conditioning. San Pedro Sula had air conditioning, and it does not point at the preacher. It's right over his head and out into the audience. And so I preached again here and preached the sermon. I was not going to do the sermon on influence, but when I got there, I changed my mind and preached sermon on influence again. At this point in time, I did give benevolence here. Their only water source is this little particular thing here. This is their children's Bible class area, and these are the children in which they have. It is extremely hot in here. Just about everywhere we went, it felt like it was probably about 90 degrees with 90%+ humidity. So you can just think about you are drenched. And in this little packed area, this is an enclosed area that's probably no more than 4 or 5 feet wide and spans probably 10 to 12, 15 feet wide. And there was nothing in here, no air circulation. So I gave them $320 for one of those water coolers and a to put a fan in back there for the children. And so I asked him if he would put air conditioning in there. And my response, his response to me was he could not afford to pay the electricity bill if they were to put it in. So they would rather have the water cooler and the fan. So this is my trip in short here. This is, we covered probably not quite half the country. It goes all the way out and along down here and up over in here. We traveled probably about a third of the country. And so these are just some more scenes from the country. This is here fish that they served, and I ate some of that. So here is just a nice scene that we came across as we were traveling. This is fairly common transportation here, legal transportation. Long as he has his license, this is okay. And he has to get a permit to be a taxi, but that's a taxi. And then if you ever see Melanie wearing some of these are true Honduran-made sandals. Again, I appreciate the trip. I appreciate the opportunity to go. I know I'm running late. What I'd like you to see from all of this is that Christians, their joy does not come from money. Their joy comes from Christ. And these people were joyous people. As poor as they were very joyous people. I wanted to read a few verses, but I am running well behind. And so we know from Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy, be like-minded. James 1 and 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Christians do not get their joy from physical and material blessings. Our joy should come from Christ and from following his word. If you are not a Christian, you need to come to Christ. The blessings are in him. They're not in this congregation. They're not anywhere other than in Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. And you need to confess your sins. And if you have needs of the congregation, if you are a Christian and you have transgressed, and if you have needs, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.